Hello, Mr. Friedman. How are you on this Monday afternoon?
If my regular route down to the office wasn't unknowingly shut down by, unknowingly to me, shut down by construction, I would have been a lot better, I have to say, Pat.
Well, maybe it'll be a testy hit with you today. I'll see if I can rile you up a little bit. I will say that you riled up some Flames fans on Friday. It's a little bit of a party.
Yeah, I heard that, and then I heard you did it on your show by, like, basically saying the Flames have basically already bought a house for them.
not quite. I just...
I don't know. That's the way I kind of read it.
It's funny because I get anxiety whenever I put something out like that because I don't like to deal with potential fallout. And so I was like, well, as soon as you said something, like, okay, well, I'll write this story and we'll talk about it on the air. And what or how much of a chance would there be from what you are led to believe that the Flames would pursue Jacob Markstrom if he were to end up a free agent?
Well, look, I mean, you guys are looking for goalie help, right?
For sure. I think
And if he hits the market, okay, so of all the options that are out there, who's better?
I don't think anybody.
I'm talking about trade, not only free agency too, though.
Okay. Then the only other guy that I would put in a similar category, I like Kemper a lot too. I think both those guys are legit number ones.
Okay, I agree with you on Kemper. And the thing about Kemper is, just in terms of pure salary, he's going to cost you less than Markstrom.
Yes.
But the asset cost is going to be much higher. Like Markstrom, all that costs you is money. But Kemper costs you picks or prospects, okay? And it's not going to be cheap. You know, the other guy I kind of wonder about here, and I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm wondering if there's any chance that Bishop becomes available. And, you know, he has some control over it too, right? So, I agree with you. I think Markstrom, like, I think Markstrom on the list is very high, if not at the top. So I absolutely think if he hits the market, you guys are going to look at it. But I think there's going to be a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think there's, you know, obviously Vancouver's still there. We'll see if they can sort this out. I think you guys would potentially be there. I think that. Like, the one thing, and it's the reason I kind of chased Jimmy Howard a bit yesterday, I do wonder if Detroit would be there. I do. And I'm sure there's teams I haven't even thought about yet.
What is the late, like, you know, we can talk about this all we want. My read remains.
And it is true, by the way. He and Lindholm are friends.
Yes, absolutely. And what that means to a guy signing somewhere, you never know. But it is an interesting side note to the whole thing. What is the latest on Markstrom and the Canucks? Because that has to be figured out before any of the other teams, Flames or otherwise, even enter the conversation.
All I've heard is it's been a really challenging negotiation. And like someone who knows said that's what they told me. It's been a really challenging negotiation. They said not to assume that means one thing or the other. But I don't think it's been an easy time. I mean, they've been working at this for months. And I don't think necessarily that means they've been working at it straight. I think they've been on and off, but I think they know each other's positions. I don't think that's changed a lot. I think Markstrom's representatives have an idea of the market. I think there's a limit of what Vancouver's willing to do, particularly in salary. I think Vancouver needs assurances that they'll have expansion draft flexibility, which I think Markstrom is willing to consider at a price. Like, I always worry that, you know, I could say this to you and then I hang up and it's proven to be totally wrong. But the last I heard is that they weren't close on the number. So, I mean, unless they've found a way to bridge that, it was a big challenge.
Do you get the sense that one thing means more to Markstrom than the other in terms of AAV or term?
I think that, well, first of all, I think it's important to Markstrom to know that at some point in time, he doesn't have to get worried about getting traded.
Right.
So I do think that whole no move situation, whether it's before or after the expansion draft, I do think that's important to him. I usually think that, to me, it depends on, I don't know if years or structure matters more, to be perfectly honest. It's probably just overall, value, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's got a number here he's looking at, and he wants the Canucks to get to it in terms of overall value of the contract. And I'm sure that's the issue.
Do you think that, because we just talked about it, he would be extremely sought after on the open market if he gets there.
Yeah.
Would he take less in Vancouver than what he could get in free agency?
I think he probably would, but the question is always how much.
Right. Right.
I don't know. The thing is, at this time of year, you never know how much is true and how much is negotiating, right, Pat? But from what I've heard out there, the offer, what he could get on the open market is better than what he can get in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think it comes down to, what are you willing to do? I think a lot of players recognize if they want to stay, they have to take a little bit less. But again, I think, Pat, it comes down to how much less. And at this point in time, I think the chasm is significant enough that we don't have a deal.
Yeah. What's your gut say? Does he stay or does he go?
My gut says it's not as big as it used to be since I started working out during the pandemic. I don't know. I think it's going to be the thing is, I look at it the same way in some ways I look at Petrangelo. They've had a lot of time to work on this. They've had a lot of time to work on it, and they're still not there. With every day that we get closer, I think that there's a better chance than not that he goes to the market. But, my question is, Pat, does Vancouver decide? I think what Vancouver's deciding is, what are our other options? And are we convinced? Demko was unbelievable in the playoffs. He struggled a bit in the regular season when Markstrom got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure that what Vancouver's doing is they're weighing it as knowing Markstrom, what's the difference in our other options? And I think right now they're probably looking at that very deeply. If we don't keep him, what are we going to have? What's going to be available to us? And do we think that that's an acceptable alternative?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they want to sign him. I think there's a limit to what they're willing to do. They're not really willing to go past that point. And now I think they're sitting there saying, okay, if we can't make this work, what are we left with? And that's going to determine where they go here. I don't want to put a number on it because, you know what, Pat? Then I'm going to get radioed, and it's just like if I come on and say less than 50% they re-sign him, you know where that's going to go. So I'm just going to say I don't know at this time, but I do think, it's been a real challenging negotiation.
You getting radioed, that's getting more and more difficult for you to avoid. Now everybody just listens to everything he says. It's getting harder and harder for you to avoid that, but I don't think you did it there.
I think I've gotten better at it, actually, but It can happen at any time. No,
I know.
Question.
Why I'm always very cognizant of it because I don't want to do that to you. Elliot Friedman's with us, NHL insider, every Monday on the program. You mentioned Pietrangelo. Let's go there. What's the latest? There is a big time story development over the weekend. What's the latest on Pietrangelo and the Blues and where they're at?
Well, I just heard they're not close. Like, they're not close. And it's not only on the no move clause and the structure. Like, I haven't heard on AAV, they're not close. It's just nowhere. And that one's been, I don't know if nasty is the right word, but it's been surprisingly poor. There haven't been a lot of offers. Like before they made an offer about 2 weeks ago, I think there'd been one offer in a year. And it just seems strange to me that here's this guy who's the captain of your Stanley Cup team. And, you know, you got other business done and you didn't get this one done. And the thing is that Shen got market value. Falk probably got more than market value. And Scandella got market value. And this is the guy they're battling with. And, I do think that Pietrangelo wants to stay. And I think that's why he came out with this 2 weeks or 3 weeks before free agency begins. Mm-hmm. I think if you think you're really leaving, you don't do this until right at the time or when you know there's no possibility for future negotiations. I think this was his way of saying, I want to be a Blue, but it's not going to happen if it continues like this. And I think they're far, far, far apart. I don't even think it's anywhere close.
Well, and you mentioned it earlier. You said, well, it's tough to tell at this time of year how much is negotiating and how much is real. Both sides came out with their own stances. Like, that reminded me over the weekend of what we hear during a CBA negotiation where both sides publicly portray their side, which I guess kind of speaks to just how ugly this negotiation has gotten.
Yeah, you know, the Blues are being very careful about commenting about it. You know, like, there's a lot of tough negotiators on both sides here. Like, Doug Armstrong, the Blues GM, mm-hmm. He's a really tough negotiator. The guys at Newport who represent Pietrangelo, they're really tough negotiators. And I think that's part of it. I think that... there's a lot of people here who are not afraid to take difficult stances, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I think the CBA comparison's a good one, Pat. I think that's a good metaphor for it because there is a similarity, and you almost need a deadline to make it work. Like, if you look at the NHL's negotiations, it usually happens right around a deadline. Maybe we need one, but right now it's like World War One, man. The trenches, and nobody's moving.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other players that we've heard some news on over the last 24, 48, 72 hours. You mentioned it already, but it sounds like, or it's confirmed, that Detroit and Jimmy Howard will be going in separate directions?
Yeah, he wants to play. You know, last year was a nightmare year for him and the team. He wants to play. You know, he said probably not Detroit. Since I spoke to him, I think it's more than probably not. I think he and the team have spoken and they know they're going in different directions, but he wants to play and he's going to put himself out there. And I think the thing that was really interesting is that he's told me that he'd spoken to his wife that if wherever they go is not close to Detroit, and he's got four kids, two boys play hockey right now, that he's talked to his wife about the possibility of playing somewhere else and being away from his family for the year. So it's going to be interesting. He definitely wants to play somewhere.
Speaking of goaltending, how do you read the situation the Dallas Stars find themselves in with Ben Bishop unable to play? Anton Khudobin has him 3 wins away from a Stanley Cup and is a pending unrestricted free agent.
You know, I'd heard during the year that they weren't going to be able to keep him, that Khudobin had priced himself out of Dallas in terms of, because, you know, like, he's become one of the best backups in the league. And this year at the time of the pause, they were second in the league in goals against. Only Boston was better. So I do think that they were preparing for the possibility that they would lose him. Now, I mean, it's not as if he's lost money based on what he's done in the Stanley Cup final and in the playoffs. He's on the best streak of his career and the heaviest workload of his career. Like, he's never played this much before, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. Like, what do you do here if you're Dallas? You know, do you let this guy go? I mean, he's 3 wins from the Stanley Cup. Who knows what's going to happen over the next week? I like Dallas's chances, but you don't know until you play. It's going to be really strange. You know, could there be any chance they go to, they try to move Bishop and keep Khudobin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's because I'll tell you this, like, I know he was looking for a decent raise and he's earned a decent raise, but now you got to be wondering if they're sitting here and saying, we got to keep this guy.
What about Nick Hjalmarsson in Arizona, as there was news over the weekend that at this stage, anyway, he's not keen on waiving his no move?
Well, you know, Hjalmarsson was a guy who had interest. There's no question about it. I heard Colorado was one team that had spoken to them about him. And, you know, I just think that he had the no move clause, and Craig Morgan, who covers that team really well, the Coyotes, reported today that he's not going to waive it. And Craig made it sound like, and I think it's true, it's like a personal family situation.
Okay.
And you can't knock anyone for making the proper decision for their family.
100%. Elliot Friedman's with us, Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet every Monday. Last topic and kind of last direction, but that's on what you heard Saturday in Gary Bettman's State of the League. I thought that it was a very interesting conversation that he had with the media, and there was a lot there. Did anything specifically stand out in that about hour that Gary met with the media on Saturday?
I thought it was an interesting conversation. Like, at the beginning, he declined to really address next year. And then when the media opened up to the questions, he's, you know, we were all asking him about next year. I thought there were a few things that were pretty interesting. Number one, Pat, he said he's not crazy about summer hockey. Okay. So that says to me that we're not doing this again, or mm-hmm. we're not going, like, the Olympics are next summer if they happen. He doesn't want to go into next summer. Number two, it really doesn't look like December is going to be the start of the season. I think it's more likely we start in January. And number three, as long as there's a path to attendance, and I know I've used this phrase with you before, as long as there's a path to attendance, I think they're going to try stuff. So if they start with no fans, but know that they can get the fans eventually, you know, I think that we're going to see something. He refuses to say anything other than 82 game season. I don't know how on earth we're going to have an 82 game season if we start in January or February. And, you know, I just think it's going to be fascinating, but I think we're looking at, as long as they know they can have fans at some point, I think we play. I think we don't start until January or February. We finish around the end of June, the beginning of July, and we go from there.
Well, and you asked him in the call, the one question that you asked in it was, is there a chance that, you know, it doesn't happen until September and you just skip next season and start again anew with the old calendar? And didn't really, like, I thought it was a pretty encouraging response from him in saying that.
Yeah, I think he kind of poo-pooed that idea. And I will tell you, Pat, after the press conference, I had a few people reach out to me and say, there's no way he's going to want to do that.
Okay, which is good, like, news.
Now, and I will tell you this. I think there are some owners who felt if they couldn't have attendance until next year, they would consider that. But I don't think Bettman wants any part of that.
Okay. CJ asked about the All-Canadian division. He again, poo-pooed it because he wasn't going to say anything about it, but
well,
also said they're considering everything.
I think it's the one thing he said at the end of the press conference, Pat, was that, you know, like they waited until the last second before it was Edmonton this year, right?
Yep.
And it worked out for them. They had a safe bubble. So he's shown he's willing to be patient and wait to get the best possible answer, which is probably the best way for him to attack these things.
Yep. You're doing God's work, my friend. Outstanding stuff, as always. Is Stamkos playing tonight, do you think?
I don't know. I heard last night that he was going to at least take the warm-up, and that's what I thought he was going to do, but I'm less confident of that now by how much he was out there this morning. I mean,
okay. That's
going to be a story to watch, Pat. Is this, like... I don't know. I honestly don't know what to make of all this. I really don't.
Yeah. Smoke screen or legit, and you can't.
It's just like there's something we're not seeing here. That's all I can really say. It's weird.
Outstanding stuff, as always. Thank you for the time, Elliot. Have a good telecast tonight.
All right, Pat. Just keep hire that real estate agent. Just keep bringing free agents to Calgary.
We'll see what I can do.
All right.
See you, Fried.
Bye.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Your safe experts is hunting season. Ask how you can win a gun safe. Visit the Calgary Lock & Safe showroom on 32nd Ave or go to calgarylockandsafe.com.